Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Today, I'd like you to, maybe you have the message notes. You adults, you are handed. I know the children in their package have some message notes and crayons to fill in. I'd like to talk about the second time Jesus comes. As we celebrate today, the first time he came. The second time Jesus comes, that's the day we're waiting for yet. We're waiting for that advent, that coming. And in Acts chapter 1, in verse 10, this is where Jesus, he had died, he had risen from the dead, and this was the moment he was taken up into heaven until the day, sometime in our future, when he will come again. And it says they, in verse 10 of Acts 1, they were looking intently up to the sky. These would have been Jesus' followers, his disciples. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. When suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. Those would be, like what we find in the first coming story, Christmas story, these would have been angels. And these angels were standing there beside them as they were watching Jesus being taken up into heaven until he would come again. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, what are you standing there staring into the sky? The angels ask him. Because he is going to come back, and he's going to come back in the same way you've seen him go. That was not the same way he came the first time at Christmas. In fact, Christ's second coming will be in a different way than at Christmas when he came. It'll be in a different way, a radically different way. You'll see in your notes there's two pictures. One is a picture of a child and one is a picture of a crown. Because the first time Jesus came, he came humbly, he came born of a virgin, he came born in a little town. No one really even knew about it until the angels told the shepherds. He came in a very humble, simple way. He came as a baby. He came as a child. The second time Jesus comes again, it won't look like that at all. He's going to come in the skies, not in a stable. He's going to come in the skies. He's not going to be a little baby. He's going to be a conquering king. In fact, that's described for us in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16, this is what Jesus' second coming will like. And notice how different it is than his first coming. I saw heaven standing open, in verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and so the angel was right. As you've seen him go up into heaven, that's how he's going to come back again. He's going to come in the skies. He's going to come, and heaven was open, and there before me was a manger with a baby in it? No. Instead, it's a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Those are names and descriptions of Jesus. He's faithful. He embodies all of truth and with justice. He's finally going to bring justice to our crooked, wicked old world. He's going to bring justice and wage war against everything that's evil. In other words, he came like a baby in a manger. He's coming back like a warrior on a war horse, a horse of victory, the great white horse. And he's, verse 13, dressed in a robe dripped in blood. Now, when he came the first time, the Bible tells us he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. This time, he's going to be wrapped in a king's robe. It's been dipped in blood, speaking of the fact that he died for our sins on the cross and shed his blood that we might have life. And he's coming back with this robe with the marks of what he did the first time he came. And his name is the Word of God. We believe that the written Word of God is the Bible. But the Bible teaches us that the living Word of God is Jesus himself. He was the Word of creation at the beginning of history. He was the Word of Christmas in the midst of history, because the Bible says at Christmas, the Word became flesh. A baby was born. The Son of God come to us as a baby. But at the end of his human history, it's going to be the Word that is the conquering king. He again shows up as the Word of God. All that God wants to communicate to us, all God's purposes, creating us, meeting us where we are at Christmas, and coming back to wrap up human history. Jesus is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him. We'll be a part of that army, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written. Will you say it out loud with me? King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, just one more time. King of kings and Lord of lords. So he came the first time as a baby. He's coming the second time as a king. That's why when the second time Jesus comes, it's going to be in a different way than at Christmas. And it's also going to be for a different purpose than why he came the first time. Jesus, when he comes the second time, is not coming for the same reason he came the first time. And if you look at those pictures, you'll see on the left a picture of a cross, which is why Jesus came the first time. He had to take on a body. That's why he was born as a child. He grew up, he faced everything you and I face, but then he came to die on a cross. That's why he needed a body, to be the sacrifice for our sin. Our sin just, we all know what that's like in our hearts, and it makes us, God, turn his face from us, even though he loves us. And you know, if you commit a crime, you've got to pay a penalty, right? We committed crimes. We did what's wrong, but God paid the penalty for our wrong when he died on the cross. So the first time he came was to have a body to die on a cross. The second time he's coming, however, is for a different purpose. And it's not to be the sacrifice for our sin, but it's to take us who know Christ, whose sins have been forgiven, we, his living church, to come and be with him. So the church is not really a building, but it's the church is worldwide. It's everybody who knows and follows Jesus. And the second time, Christ is coming back, not to die for our sin, but to take us to be with him forever. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God." So that's very different than what the Christmas story looks like. This is Jesus coming back. It's no going to be no secret. He's going to come with the trumpets on the shout. In other words, everyone's going to see him. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be dramatic. And the first thing that's going to happen is that Christians who have already died are going to rise first. And then Christians who are still alive and left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's very different than the purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Jesus' second advent, his second coming, is to bring you and me there. Those who are dead in Christ, those who have died as believers in Christ, they're going to rise first. And I realize that some of you, this is your first Christmas without a loved one in your life. Some of you have had a mom or a father that's passed away, that's died. Some of you have had a brother or sister, even a child that's passed away this past year. But I want to tell you, those who are in Christ that have passed away on the second coming, and maybe feel lonely as you celebrate Christ's first coming without them, but the second coming, they're going to get there before you do. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are remaining, who know the Lord, we're going to be caught up with them in the air. It's called the rapture of the church. It's Jesus bringing his church back to himself. So Christ's second coming is in a different way than at Christmas, and his second coming was for a different purpose than at Christmas. He came for the purpose of dying for us the first time, but he's coming to take us to himself the second time. So we'll be with him forever in heaven. But it's also a different result. I mean, the result of Christmas is going to be different than the result of when he comes again. You can see a picture in your notes of a person with a cross right in his heart. That's the result of Jesus coming the first time. We can have peace in our hearts. We can be forgiven. We can have Jesus and what he did on the cross for us living in our lives. But when he comes the second time, it's not so that we individually can have peace, but he's finally going to bring peace to the earth when he comes. And he's going to be the ruler over all. Now, in Revelation, that last book of the Bible that talks about Jesus' second coming, it says the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And it came the first time to die on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He could live in our hearts. But Jesus is coming back again someday to do something global. He's going to bring peace where human beings have never been able to bring peace to the world. He's going to do it. I mean, we live in a world, just watch the news this week. We live in a world where we're concerned about nuclear warfare. We've got countries that are threatening to send nuclear bombs to kill us all. We hear about global warming, our planet getting warmer, storms getting worse. Some people say that could wipe out life on the planet someday. Nuclear war could wipe out life on the planet. And Jesus said, there'll come a moment in history where it seems like unless I step in, like the whole world will be killed. But I want to tell you, our world will not end in an ecological environmental catastrophe. It will not end in a nuclear holocaust. Our world will end because Jesus himself is going to step in and he's going to put a period on human history because he's the one who created us and he's the one that's going to wrap up history. It's going to be something amazing throughout all of human history. I mean, you read human history and it's hard to be the kind of person that just turns your back on God and just say, well, I'm going to trust human nature. Because the track record of human nature is very bad. For centuries, human beings have been threatening each other, killing each other, moving ahead by taking advantage of other people. And sin has ruled in our world. But I want to tell you, there's a day. Don't give up hope. Jesus is coming back again. And he's going to have the final word. Sin isn't going to have the final word. The devil's not going to have the final word. A nuclear bomb's not going to have the final word. Jesus is going to have the final word over human history. And the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. That's the description of the result of Jesus coming the second time. That's a little different result than Jesus just coming into our hearts. That's the result of Christmas, of Jesus coming the first time. But he's coming again to wrap it all up. So our last verse that just ties it all together. This is Peter, one of Jesus' closest followers, and he's preaching a sermon in Acts chapter 3. He just prayed for and he just ministered to a lame man who got up and started walking. And everybody's going like, we've never seen anything like this in our entire lives. And here's what Peter said to them. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Repent. What do we do? If Jesus is coming back again, because he came the first time, we can be ready for when he comes again. You may be 8 years old here. And I remember, just like Pastor Justin, I had a little different experience. I remember when I was 8 years old, I knelt down and I repented of my sin and I asked Jesus to forgive me. And I remember the power of his spirit, his resurrected spirit coming in my life, even at 8 years old. Maybe you're 80 years old here, and that's never happened to you, but that can happen. How can you be ready for Jesus' second coming? It's because he came the first time to die on a cross for you, and the message is always the same. Repent. Turn from the way you're going. It's a U-turn word. Repent. Turn around. Go towards God. You've been walking away from him. Turn around and start going towards him and ask you to forgive everything in your heart that makes you want to walk away from God. I did that at 8 years old. I still to this day remember the profound encounter with Jesus I had personally. And I've known people who are 80 who have done this. My grandfather was 50 when he gave his life to Christ. He knelt down by a radio and was listening to a radio preacher say, you need to get down and repent of your sin. And you need to, that your sins can be wiped away so that Jesus can come into your life. This is exactly what Peter said. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. He wants to refresh you. He wants to give you something this world can't give you. This world will give you temporary happiness. It'll give you some fun. This world will give you a lot of sadness, but only the one who created you can truly come and make the difference in the center of your heart. that your sins might be wiped away and that God's presence would come and refresh and make you new inside. Jesus said, if you meet me, it's like being born again inside. Because Jesus came the first time, we can be born again and we can be ready for the second coming of Christ. And that's exactly where Peter goes, the next verse. And that so that he may send the Messiah who's been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything. In other words, heaven must receive him. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of God the Father right now. But he sent us his Spirit to change our lives because of what he did the first time he came. And now he's come so that we can be ready for that day when Jesus comes again to judge the world. And you know, you can either wait and let him be a part of who gets judged, or you can be a part of that group that's taken up to meet him in the air because you've trusted Jesus to make him your Lord and Savior. Will you stand with me, please?